The Perth Football Podcast is proudly brought to you by Macron Store Perth, an industry leader in quality teamwear specialising in grassroots, semi-pro and professional team attire. Visit the Macron Sports Hub Perth Facebook page for more. Thank you to Macron for helping us keep the pod running and for their continuous involvement in community sport.
But when the fun's high, when the fun's low, there's just one thing I want you to know. Three was the number this weekend. Friday night saw a 3-3 with Perth and Bayswater, a 3-1 win for Kingsway, and then Saturday had a hat-trick of 3-0s in the afternoon. Armidale, Stirling and Fremantle all winning, and Red Star wrapping things off with a 1-0 win over the Glory. It's a Perth Football Podcast, and we'll have all that and more. And welcome one and all to another round of the men's MPL and to another edition of the Perth Football Podcast. We're delighted to be back in your ear holes. I'm your host, Sean Fry, joined by Mr. Football, Tommy Dolman. How are you, Tommy?
Good, thanks, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing very well, mate. Very, very well. Am I doing as well as the greatest man? Let's find out. Josh Chiat, how well are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. You might be doing even better, though. It seems like you're having a pretty eventful afternoon there with the child and the dog and getting this all kicked off pretty early.
Right, always eventful afternoons with children and dogs. But yeah, nice to get this recording over nice and early. Not that I don't want to talk to you guys, but yeah, it is an earlier one, and not that this will mean anything to the listeners, but we do love to waffle on about things that they don't care about. But let's dive into the action. We start, as always, with our Macron moment of the week. Tommy Dolman, what have you got for us?
My Macron moment of the week this week doesn't really talk about the football on the pitch, but it talks about our good friend on
the footballer off the pitch.
Our good friend on the podcast, Kalichi Summa, producer Kalichi, who can't be with us for this early part of the show, but he ran in the 12K run for a reason at the weekend to raise some funds for the Football Futures Foundation. Obviously, a terrific organisation who looks to provide inclusive and accessible football programs that contribute to social change through engaged communities. And the money that Kalichi raised, which was just over $763, will help the WA Para Football Program participate in the national tournament at the end of the year. So awesome work from you, Kalichi, and that is worth a massive shout out.
What do you got for us, Josh? They got a good one there, Tommy.
I'm going to throw it back to the football and not to recently retired footballers like our friend Kalichi. Two spectacular goals in the MPL men's competition. I'm sure we'll get around to them a bit later as well. But Tommy Hoff, who's had a pretty rough time with injury the last couple of years with Perth Red Star, he's had a bit of a run of games through the midfield. And in what I heard from Tommy was a bit of a dire game up in the Midwest on the weekend. He really lit it up with a spectacular outside of the boot strike. And the other one, the other contender from Luke Collins, the left-footed curler, the free kick from outside of the area after Jason Saldaris had picked up a red card for himself, which I'm sure we'll get down later in our Naughty Boys segment. Two spectacular goals from the MPL men's players. Maybe not as good as some of the goals overnight in the final day of the Premier League. I'm not sure if you guys peeped the Mohamed Kudus overhead kick that got West Ham back in the game just before halftime against Man City.
Oh, got them back in the game, did it? Yeah, got them right back in.
Well, yeah, for a second.
Yeah, no,
we would have been in with a shout if there was no VAR anymore, which I think the clubs have been talking about not having next year. If you saw the non-goal that Thomas Souček just slapped into the back of the net with his elongated right arm or left arm, whichever it was.
Yeah. Well, you've taken it back to the football and somehow we've ended up at the Premier League, and I don't want to talk about that. So I'm going to swerve it away from the football and go back to the run for a reason and say my moment of the week was when Kalichi got 8Ks through his 12Ks and then had to go and do a poopy. So had to stop the run and then it all went downhill from him from there. But fantastic effort. I don't even bother trying these fun runs anymore because my body wouldn't make it.
Blew a calf muscle or something like that as well.
And had to walk and jog the rest of the way. But he got there, showed that determination and yeah, the fire in the belly. So good on you, Kelechi. We're very, very, very impressed by your effort, even if the time didn't end up being what you wanted it to be. But that's your calf's fault and not yours. So let's get away from all that and jump in to the action. We have new leaders in the men's NPL. How many games are we in now? That was round eight. So eight rounds in, and it is now Olympic Kingsway on top, where they want to be. They've threatened to top the table along the way at many stages the last couple of seasons, but now we're midway through 2024, and courtesy of a 3-1 win over Inglewood. Just run through the action there. Boland opened the scoring from a Ghana cross on 19 minutes, but Benson and Segetse levelled with a smart finish moments later. Kingsway took a lead into the half, though, through a Tyler Ghana header, and then sealed the win when Njegic bundled in after a great Specker save. 3-1 at Kingsway, top of the table. We won't touch too much on this one because we will cover that, or you boys covered that in the full-time whistle. So any quick thoughts on Kingsway or Inglewood, our new table toppers and table bottomers, respectively, from you two?
Small correction, Sean. It was Dawes Chole that scored the goal. But, yeah,
I'm no Tommy Dolman, am I?
Absolutely not. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of what we talked about Kingsway obviously came on Friday night on the Patreon, so you can go and have a listen to that for a little bit more detail on that. But, I mean, from a Kingsway perspective, it's exactly what we expected from them. They had that wobble against Bayswater earlier in the campaign where the firepower of Gary Williams' side, I suppose, just got the better of them in the second half, and Kingsway had an out-of-character performance, but they look imperious now. Six games unbeaten, and they are scoring goals for fun as well. That's the other thing that's really impressing me at the moment. They got three on the weekend just gone. They put five past Perth the week before that. Three away from home against the Knights, and we know how hard they've previously been from there. And then six against the Glory as well. So, yeah, the likes of Joe Knowles, Liam Boland really starting to click now, and I think it's a real danger sign for them going forward. It's going to be a fascinating game this weekend for them, top of the table clash against Gloria.
24 goals they've now scored Olympic Kingsway. The closest to that is 18, shared 3-1 by Bayswater, Fremantle and Floreat. But, yeah, check out the Patreon, just a coffee a month to help support what we're doing. I mean, it is, as we always say, one of Kelechi's expensive coffees. So we do really appreciate all the support from our Patreons. And if you do want any more content from us, that's the sort of stuff you get, the full-time whistle, usually uploaded directly after the game. But Kelechi obviously had a lot on this weekend with that run for a reason and a bunch of other things. So that's just come up now.
And the recovery from it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you want to check that out, you can go and do that now. And that will also cover a bit of Perth 3, Bayswater 3. That was the other Friday night game. This one was a lightning start for Perth as Gamiz Kerr smashed in from distance in the 6th minute. That was the only scoring in the first half, but an early leveller in the second when Pollard pushed it into the path of big Cam Tease, the effervescent-looking, bright young blonde. But Perth quickly retook the lead through Osman. But Tease clawed it back again, and then it was Bayswater's turn to take the lead and not be able to hold on as Josh Anasmo showed a ton of composure and then went off and did the bloody Ronaldo celebration. But a late, late, late Osman header, so a brace for him and Tease split the points. Again, more of that on the full-time whistle, but any quick thoughts on that one before we go on to Armidale 3, Floreat 0?
I suppose just to reiterate, a little bit of a taster as to what we sort of discussed on the Friday night. The defence from Bayswater, I didn't think was particularly great for any of the three Perth goals. The 40-yard from Gamiz Kerr, the fact that Osman was allowed to just run to the edge of the area and slightly inside it unchallenged, and then curl inside the far post, lovely finish. And then the last goal as well, set piece, Bayswater don't clear a set piece, and then the subsequent ball comes in. And take your pick of three Perth players at the back post. And that's not the form that you want to be seeing at the back. If you want to be holding on, taking 3 points and pushing yourself into that upper echelon of the table. I think I went as far as saying on Friday night that I don't think I can take Bayswater seriously as a title contender until they start tightening up their defence and the examples like that. Yes, some nice goals. Yes, plenty of threat up front. Albeit at times it did look a little bit sort of disjointed. They're obviously still trying to get those parts together, but defensively had to be better. And Occasionally as well for Perth, probably not the greatest either. A little bit easier for Joshua and Asmo to come inside, even though it was a nice composed finish for the goal, which made it 3-2 to Bayswater. But I think we're starting to see the signs of what Kenny Lowe's doing at Perth. And I think there were some positives to take out of their performance for sure. And a good bounce back after that 5-0 loss to Kingsway.
Do you have any of the same concerns about Kingsway? Since Bayswater have only conceded 14 and Kingsway have conceded 13. So defensively, they look pretty similar. Is that just a case of the fixtures? Or do you think it's just the fact that Kingsway are good going forward at the moment, Josh?
I think Kingsway have sort of steadied the ship in that department in the last couple of weeks, because there's a few outliers when you look at those Kingsway results. You have the five goals they conceded in a half against Bayswater in the second week of the season. That's not something that's been repeated. They had three goals they conceded in a 6-3 win against Perth Glory, where a few of the goals in that game were pretty bizarre. It was a very open match, a very open contest, and I think there was another game there which was maybe a 3-3 draw, which was that or a 4-3 or something like that.
Yeah, Knights 3-3 draw in Nashville.
Yeah, Knights was a high scoring draw. So I think that the goals that Bayswater conceded the other night, just the way that they conceded them would be the concern. And we have the chat on the socials that Kelechi had with Gary Williams after the game, which is on Facebook and Instagram. And he was pretty frank about his frustrations with the way his team saw out the game. You know, that they didn't do the things you would expect of experienced players. You know, they had multiple opportunities to hold the ball in the corner, eat up 30 or 40 seconds of the clock late on in injury time. They didn't do it. Ball wound up down the other end. They clear that corner twice, or I guess half clear it. So they deal with the corner, they deal with the next ball in, and then you look at it in the fullbacks caught too wide, and the other players have all gone to the near post, players are drifting in the back. And those are the things that you go, you know, maybe you'll concede goals and you go, oh, they're great goals. They're fantastically constructed. And Perth, under Kenny Lowe, he's obviously, you know, leaving his mark on the team. And a lot of their play, their build-up play, was a joy to watch. But the goals that they scored weren't actually a result of brilliant football. If you look at the Osman goal, the finish was fantastic. But, you know, a player steps out of the line to go challenge Gamiz Quare when he doesn't need to. He's on the wrong foot. He's on his right foot. If he wants to take a shot, like, he doesn't need to step out and challenge him, and that leaves the space in behind for Osman to move into. So those are the concerns I think that Bayswater would have. And then going forward, it's a question of, you know, can they replicate the way they score these goals week in, week out? Because the goals on the weekend seem like they came from nowhere.
Well, we will find out in the coming weeks, I'm sure. That's enough on those two that we weren't going to touch on much, but it's just a bit extra bang for your buck. Well, it's not bang for your buck for the free listeners, is it? Because they don't pay anything. But anyway, bang for your for nothing. Give you a bang for nothing. Moving on to the game that we do want to talk about in part one. Before we get on, obviously, to all the other games this weekend, and also a bit of amateur hour that Kelechi's teed up for us, and we'll have a little chat as well, once again, with Mark from Peak Performance, specifically about recovering from a run for a reason. So I think Kelechi's just trying to get a free physio session out of Mark by choosing these topics. But we do have all that to get onto, and we do have Armidale 3, Floriat 0, and we're going to start with Josh Chiat with this one, because not only did we have our first naughty boy, we can skip that insert, producer Kelechi, because we want the other one.
Dogzone. Dogzone.
Was this I Want to Be Your Dog?
Whatever that was, it was dog-related, I'm sure. Josh, Dogzo. I think this might be one of our first Dogzos of the year. They have not been plentiful. And I'm going to let you describe this one, because it was Jason Soldaris, Floriat goalkeeper, Floriat stalwart. And what's he gone and done? 28 minutes in, Josh.
We've got a long ball over the back of the defense. They're in behind, but he's got a bit of support around him. He comes out. It's on the edge of his area. Does he head the ball? No, he goes with the hands and he does the drop the ball straight away. The one you always see when the goalkeeper knows or feels they've been caught out.
Knows he's close anyway, certainly.
Straight away, the referee's blown his whistle. He knows what's coming. The red card's on the way. He looks over at the linesman, gives him a little finger. Not a bad finger, just a point. And summarily takes his marching orders and heads off the pitch. Obviously, as we brought up earlier on in the intro and our Macron moments of the week, rubbing salt into the wounds, Luke Collins finished it off with a beautiful free kick right into the post.
That is always the worst when you get that red card for your goalkeeper outside the area, and then you're like, well, at least it's not a penalty. And then, well, it might as well have been if they go and curl it into the top corner like Luke Collins did.
My one and only red card had circumstances somewhat like that. So I've also had a
red card playing in goals for backpackers way back in the day, and so it's interesting. We've both had red cards for the same thing. We're both naughty in similar ways, I guess. Josh, we can take.
I wasn't in goals actually. I wasn't in goals. It was a semi final. It was a semi final.
Do we
want to
hear about
and
this?
I've conceded. Oh, you've got it. It was a semi final. I've gone and conceded a late challenge. We're up 1-0, and. It got given as a penalty. I strongly disagreed. His foot kicked my leg. That's what I thought.
Okay. Yeah.
And the penalty was put away. Game went into extra time, and we went on to lose 2-1. So
all thanks to you,
consequences.
Mate. Absolutely, and there were big consequences. This is obviously with the preface that we don't have a very good angle on that camera of Jason coming out, and we can't tell whether it's inside or outside the box, but there's no question if it was outside the box that it's a red card, is there?
No, I don't think so. No. I think
you agree, Tommy? Yep. All
I
right, very good.
Over the top of him and they're in.
And they're heading it in. Yep. So, as we said, Luke Collins knocked in the free kick 2-0 before half time. A beauty from Van Deeken. And then 12 minutes from time, the Floriat Goose was fully cooked when Amir Ajan, cutting in off from the left, just curled a ball into the box, a pretty speculative nothing ball at about shin height, and somehow just dribbled all the way through. And a couple of players in front, so the goalkeeper's obviously expecting a touch. But the ball just limps its way into the net, 3-0. And so that goal was really a summary of the Floriat afternoon. Obviously the red card to your goalkeeper, and a goalkeeper as important as Jason Soldaris can be to that team, doesn't help. But it's a big result, isn't it, Tommy?
It is, yeah. From a Floriat perspective, I don't think it's one of those things where you can read too deeply into it. They perform pretty well in the season overall. You lose a player after just before the half-hour mark, and then you lose 3-0 with a player less. I think it's a little bit hard to take too much out of that result from an Athena perspective. And they're still second in the table despite that loss. But I want to talk about Armidale because they've just sneakily put together a four-game unbeaten run, and we were speaking about them in glowing terms earlier in the season, saying that their performances for the most part had been pretty good, but they just weren't quite getting luck in games, they weren't quite taking chances. And normally that's the sort of thing that you hear from coaches when it's sort of like them trying to maybe deflect a little bit and maybe just trying to put a little bit of mayonnaise on a run of form that's not going too well. But with this situation for Armidale, it was legitimate, and that's how it's proven out to be, because turns out a 4-1 win against Inglewood last weekend was the perfect confidence boost for them, and they were able to go on. Yes, they did get out a little bit of luck, I suppose, with the red card going their way, but they capitalised on it, and we're starting to see now from Armidale positive result against Red Star as well at home, the defending champions, and they're starting to put a good run of form together as well, and they are well clear now of the bottom, albeit at the very early stage of the season. 10 points clear of bottom place, Inglewood. And believe it or not, they're only 5 points off the top four. So this season's got some miles to run for them.
Well, they've only lost 2 games all season. And the only teams that have lost fewer are Knights and Kingsway, who've both only lost once. So they're not getting beaten very often. I guess these are always those situations where you sort of think, oh, if one of these breaks had gone our way in a couple of those games, we'd be in the top four now. But you can also conversely look at it when you're drawing so many games that, you know, a couple of lucky breaks or something that else that goes wrong, and you could be, you know, looking in the relegation spots. So it is very hard when you're drawing and all the games are so tight to know how good a team the team is. But yeah, Armadale, they're looking pretty good. As you say, four games undefeated, but yeah, two losses in eight. They're not easy. How highly do you rate them, Josh?
I think that their recruitment in the off-season was actually probably more impressive than people would have given them credit for. Obviously, they didn't bring in, you know, the shining lights of some of the other clubs like Kingsway and Bayswater did with their recruitment of the off-season, but it was pretty tidy business from them. You know, Luke Collins has, I think I had him when we did that exercise where we picked one player from each team in a starting 11. I had him as my left back. I think he's been really impressive for Perth the last two seasons, and didn't necessarily know he had the free kick like that in his locker. But he's a very steady player, very good defender, left-sided defender who are always valuable, and he can slot into centre-back. Lucas Cook, I think Yang Chen, the big striker that they've got over from the East, I think he's been really impressive. Hamish Van Deeken looks like he's getting fit now, and Wishart Stevens, the Canadian, is a solid addition. Just on the Floriat result for a second, Sean, do we reveal who tipped for them in the footy tips this week, mate, or do we leave that up to the imagination?
I do not care, mate. I am more than happy for you to reveal these tips. And in fact, bloody Kalichi only went and tipped Floriat, didn't he? So he got on the Floriat bandwagon. Now we're talking about Floriat again. We're just going to be making so many people mad, and it's all Kalichi's fault, even when he's not here.
Enemies.
Yeah, exactly. Tommy, any final thoughts then on Armadale Floriat before we wrap things up for part one?
No, I suppose just from an Armadale perspective now, they've got a big game against Balcatta next week away from home, so that's an opportunity for them to put some further distance between themselves and the bottom of the table. Then they've got Stirling at home, and then a very interesting test, I suppose, to see where they're at home to Olympic Kingsway. So the fixture does have some opportunities for them in the next few weeks, that's for sure. And as mentioned before for Athena, massive game this weekend, top of the table clash with Olympic Kingsway. And then they're away at Bayswater and at home to Fremantle City. So we're going to see whether this Floriat result was a blemish or whether it's the start of a trend in what's looking like a pretty tough run on paper for them.
We certainly are. And when we find out, we will tell you, dear listeners. We're going to take a quick break now for a sponsor insert, and we'll be back with part two after this.
The Perth Football Podcast are proudly sponsored by Peak Performance Institute, our team of qualified allied health professionals who are there to ensure you perform at your peak. We are delighted to pass on a special 50% off initial physio consultation to our listeners for the remainder of the month of May. That's right, listeners. If you book an initial physiotherapy consultation in the month of May, you can receive 50% off by mentioning PFP50 in your booking comments or while talking to one of the Peak Performance Institute team. That's right, 50% off your initial physiotherapy consultation only for the remainder of May. Thank you once again to Peak Performance Institute for your continued involvement in community sport and for helping our listeners perform at their peak.
And we are back for part two. Sean, Tommy, and Josh, once more, we are going to start with Knights 0, Fremantle 3, another 3-0. This time for the away side, and Knights' first loss of the season. It was a tight first half, but two Pat Lowry goals, one late in the first, one early in the second, both assisted beautifully by Hekwach, and then Lagolia finished it off cheekily from a tight angle as Knights threw bodies forward. And as I said, Knights' first loss, they are now fourth, Fremantle up into third. Look at this top four, Tommy. It is all new boys in Kingsway, Fremantle, Knights. It's incredible, isn't it?
It is. And actually, I believe that this result was a similar one to last season. Fremantle City had a pretty convincing win against Western Knights at Nashfield last season, even in Knights' league-winning season. So they clearly know how to win at that ground. And look, you've just got to keep being impressed with what Matty Sparrow's Fremantle City side have dished up. Four wins in five now. up into third place. And it's not just the results, it's the performances as well, which have been excellent. As you say, it was a pretty tight first half on the whole, but then two carbon copy goals, really, from Pat Lowry, both brilliant passes from Charlie Cheshlas to release him down the left-hand side, and then the Irishman coming inside and finishing on his non-preferred right foot. And we spoke about him at length, I think, in the interdivisional playoff final last season. He's a really good left-sided player, essentially a wing-back who can sort of get up into those wing positions and deliver quality in an attacking spot, but also defend really well also. So, yeah, he was pivotal at the weekend with those goals either side of halftime. And then Ollie LaGallia got that spectacular third goal, a fantastic finish. And I know Josh had some thoughts on the quality of that finish.
I don't know if it's so much on the quality of the finish. It was a decent finish. I think the goalkeeper, once he's come out, shouldn't double back towards the goals and kind of create the angle for him, because
you got to commit, don't you, Josh? You got to commit.
Well, you're already out there. You're big. Like, they generally say, you know, you don't want the goalkeeper to go too far past the post once it's a one-on-one situation, but you're already out there. You're big. It's much harder to get the ball past a keeper who's holding up more of the goal. You make it tougher to make the finish. And if you look around, like, there's not like there's Frio players streaming into the box. So I think Sam Riley makes the wrong decision there. Frio City, I mean, obviously, you know, we've spoken a lot about Western Knights' form at home already and how impressive it's been. And obviously, this is a blip on that record, a very impressive record nonetheless. But at Fremantle City are interesting. They feel like a team that they are hanging at the level, but that they've got that like gritty, you know, Mighty Ducks, that underdog mentality that they come into these games with. And they're very stable and they hit teams on the break. Difficult to take down. Ollie LaGallia is obviously coming into his own up front. And Charlie Cheshlas, who you mentioned, had the two assists. I think he's got to be a smoky for the gold medal right now, the way that he's been performing. I don't know if he's the sort of player that will necessarily prick up the ears and eyes of the referees. I'm not sure if they are too familiar with giving votes for players to do the grunt work in midfield, but he's added, you know, assists and goals to his game in the last few weeks as well. And he just looks incredible every time I see him. It's remarkable to me that he wasn't playing at this level when he first came to Perth.
Yeah, apologies. Little Winter is very grumbly. These babies just want to keep eating all the time. As soon as you stop feeding them, no one tells you that. It's like first 10 weeks is just, you just feed them. And then you stop feeding them, they start crying, you feed them, they stop crying, you feed them. It's just that's all life is, constant feeds. And then, yeah, they still get grumpy at you. I don't know. They're tough critics. But, yeah, look, honestly, Josh, you brought up the Mighty Ducks and then you lost me anyway. And all I could think was Ducks fly together and think out about all those great moments when, you know, Joe Goldberg hit the knuckle puck and just – Oh no, he wasn't the one that hit the knuckle puck. The other guy came in and wore Goldberg's uniform. Anyway, we'll do a Mighty Ducks podcast another time. But as Kalichi is screaming at me doing his edits, yeah, absolutely, I'll give you some V's, mate. Anyway, as I say, Kalichi is going to be screaming at me with all this extra waffle. So let's just throw it over to Kalichi before we get into those last couple of games, because there's an amateur hour to throw in. So before we get to Glory Red Star and Balcata Sterling, let's have a listen to Amateur Hour. Who was he talking to? I think we've got it here somewhere. Talking
Jason Stern
to
from
Jason
Olympic
Stern
Kingsway.
That's right, about the Pete Jarvis Cup. So we'll get that in your ear holes right about now.
Perth Football Podcast with an Amateur Hour special. It's been a while since we had an Amateur Hour, and I managed to get down there on the weekend to watch North Perth and Emerald. But we are speaking to Jason Stern of Olympic Kingsway fame. Jason, mate, how you been? How's the weekend?
G'day, Kel, how are you, mate? Yeah, it was good. It was good. We had a nice trip down to Baldivis. So
they put out a good spread usually.
Yeah, it was a good group. It was plenty of banner flying around. It was a good fun day. It's good.
And look, it would be remiss for me to not mention this. Obviously, as a Liverpool fan, I have watched my team chase down that the 115ers, as we like to call them, and lose on the final day, won in heartbreaking fashion. How was that for you? Because it wasn't fun, but mate, the journey must have been amazing with Arsenal this season.
Yeah, we've done really well. I copped a bit of stick this morning from the group chat. The boys were getting into me. So, look, to be honest, the early goal for City kind of helped me ease into it. I wasn't expecting too much after their start. So, it's just good to be back and kind of be semi-relevant again after years missing. So.
Yeah, and look, and the squad's got a lot to build up on, but we're not having a Perth football EPL chat. We're having a Perth football podcast chat, Amateur Hour, and there's something that's very, very special happening this weekend coming for Olympic Kingsway and for the community that's happening out there. Can you talk to us a little bit more about the Peter Jarvi Cup?
Yeah, and look, first of all, I just want to say thanks, mate, for letting us come on and have a talk about it. This is something that's really special or really important to our group. Group of lads. I think a lot of people probably have seen on Sunday leagues and around the Kingsway site and whatnot that our captain passed away from leukemia a couple of years ago. It was actually the anniversary of his passing last week. So as a group, we've done a lot to try and keep his legacy alive. And he's got three young daughters and a lovely wife who he sadly left behind. And I guess our job as a playing group is to keep his legacy alive, both in our group and hopefully to show his daughters how much he meant to not only our group of players, but to the football community and everyone around, so that when they grow up, they can see what a special man that was.
And look, I'm just having a look at it. It's a competition between Olympic Kingsway and Ballardure AFC, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And so that just happens regularly every year, whether it's pre-season or during the season as well.
Yeah, so this is only the first year we've done the Jarvi Cup. So we've been friends with Schrecker and Dozer, Wayne Colville at Ballardura for a long time. We've known him for a long time, and sadly they had a friend close to them and the Ballardura club that passed away from leukemia a number of years ago as well. And we've always been part of their charity game for the Ian Dennis charity match. And lots of our lads have played in that game. And when Pete got sick, Shrek and the team at Ballardura kindly put their hand out and said, look, we want all the money and all the day, although it's the Ian Dennis charity match, some of the proceeds to go to Gemma and their family and help Jarvi in his fight for leukemia. So Jarvi got to see the game live stream from hospital, and he unfortunately passed away not long after that. And so we've kind of said to Shrek and the guys that we'll always support it. We had big numbers in the charity match again this year. And we said, because we play Ballardura every year, can we look at introducing the Jarvi Cup and make the pre-season friendly? And this year, the league, Ballardura got promoted. So there's going to be three games contesting the Jarvi Cup. And the Ballardura guys were awesome. They were awesome. They said, yep, for sure, we're happy to support it. And this weekend is actually the first time Kingsway's hosted it. So... it's a really special day for our lads, and we're going to have Pete's family down, hopefully get a big crowd and raise some money for the Leukemia Foundation.
Mate, look, it's such a good idea and it's such a good initiative, and it's moments like this where you kind of see the football community come together for stuff that's more important than it. You know, like I know that post-COVID there's been a much bigger like focus on what football means to people, what connection means to people, what network and what community means to people. And the fact that you're keeping this memory alive, but also doing this to fight for leukemia and to raise funds is absolutely superb, mate. And I think that's a testament to yourself and the club and the community and as well as Ballardura.
Yeah. Look, we're really, really lucky to be able to do this sort of thing. Like Pete was a really special guy to a lot of people in our group, and not just on the football pitch. He was a guy that kind of led by example. He was our captain. He was a guy that everyone kind of followed. But he also did a heap of amazing stuff for the players that we didn't really realise until after he passed away. Helping some of the young lads with work and some financial troubles and just being a mentor for them. He did that with my son as well. He really looked after him and kind of mentored him. So for us, it's the least that we can do for Pete's family and Gem and the girls, and it's the least that we can do to keep his legacy alive so they know what an amazing guy he was.
No, mate, that's absolutely terrific. And once again, for everybody, it's happening this weekend on Sunday at the Olympic Kingsway Sports Club, 34 Bellerive Boulevard. Is that right?
Sounds about right. Just drive there, mate. I've been going there for 20 years. I think that's what it is.
it's just off Hepburn Ave, everybody. So go in there, and it's also just off Kingsway Drive. So there's all these roundabouts that all kind of like connected. So you can go in there as well. The Perthville podcast will be down on Sunday to kind of just be about it. Like I said, it's a special club what you guys have at Kingsway. It's a really good community, and you know I'll be down there to make sure that I've got that trophy again. And if Jesse wants to get that trophy, he knows exactly where to come and get that trophy back.
Well, you need to speak to Jesse on the weekend. He scored his first header in about, well, since I've known him. Someone took his number. Someone took the 7, so he wore 9, and he actually scored a header with his... He played like a 9. Everyone was surprised. We didn't even celebrate the goal. We were in such shock that Jess got a header, but nah. So he's in decent form, so hopefully he gets a couple against Battle on the weekend.
Well, mate, if he can get a couple goals, then he might become our peak performer of the week and get himself one of those vouchers as well, which will also help the team out. Look at me just being a company man in advertising right now. But now, look, any more from yourself, Jason? Anything that you want to add to say to the good people and the good listeners of the Perthville podcast?
No, look, I guess just something to finish off. Like, in the last couple of years since Jar's passed, the football community has been amazing. Like, everyone's really got around us. Everyone's supported. Anyone who knows me knows I like a bit of banter and like to be a bit loud on the touchline at times. But, you know, football aside, all shake hands, have a beer and have a chat afterwards. And the whole community has been excellent. Everyone's got behind our lads. Every time we've asked for some support from any club, they've got around us and really looked after us. If it's been minute silence or, you know, showing some respect for, you know, for Jarves or any kind of fundraising, it's a good community to be a part of. And I think we're lucky in this state to have such a close-knit group of people that get behind each other. So thank you to everyone that's been involved. And once again, a special shout-out to the Ballardura guys for making this weekend happen.
No, mate, that's honestly, that's terrific. I don't think anything else needs to be said about that. It's great to see the community getting together and supporting each other, especially in times like this as well. So thank you so much, Sterny, and good luck to you and the Ballardura boys on the weekend. I'm looking forward to being down there. I hear you guys, I'm sure the green machine will still be on tap as well.
We've actually changed it up, mate. We've got a new sponsor. So we're sponsored by Cheeky Monkey now. So there's a bit of Cheeky Monkey on tap at Kingsway, so there'll be plenty of that flying, hopefully.
Will it be green?
I don't know. It's not green. It's not green. Hopefully it's green come the final whistle.
No worries, Sturdy. Thank you so much, mate. All the best.
Cheers, Kel. Thanks, mate.
And thank you very much to Kalichi. Thank you very much, even more very much, to Jason Stern. Now we've got to throw you straight back to, I believe, will be Kalichi again, to have that chat about the postseason recovery that he's going to so desperately need with Mark from Peak Performance.
And hello, welcome for another chat with Mark Madison from Peak Performance Institute to talk to us about injuries and injury prevention and how he can ensure that us and our listeners are performing at our peak. Now, Mark, it was a run for a reason the other day, and the Perthville podcast have done a really good deed by helping to raise almost $1,200 for Football Futures Institute, who help with the para footballers to help them get to nationals, which is a superb result for us. And, you know, I decided to run, and I've been training, but, you know, I ran as fast as I could until I had, how you say, a code brown, and then my calf kind of twinged. So luckily for me, code brown was averted, and I didn't have any trails as I was running, but the calf kind of went. And then the rest of the body kind of has been contorted. And now I am really, really sore. So with that being said, I know that a bunch of our listeners were at the run for a reason. And some of them might feel as sore as I am, even though all I did was run a 12K. Can you tell us what are some things that we could do to help? and potentially also tell us about how stupid I was running for her reason, because it was a disaster from start to finish.
My gosh. Yeah, first, thanks a lot for having me here again tonight. I have run City to Surf a few times myself. I haven't done the run for a reason, but, you know, similar distance. I used to do about the 10Ks or that sort of distance. Nothing too serious. But the Code Brown, getting to that first. So I remember one year I didn't actually run the City to Surf, but apparently they had a bit of a mix-up with the, let's say, the electrolyte balances in the drinks, and there was a lot more Code Browns than should have been.
Those gels will get you, man.
Yeah. So, and this was even a certain company. They'd been mixing it, got the powdered form, and then mixing it, and because they made it too strong, if you have too much salt in your digestive tract, just like drinking seawater, what happens? The water comes out of your body into your digestive tract, and yes,
it's gotta go.
That's where that sort of happens. And it happened to a lot of competitors one year at one of those sort of running events. But that's one thing to avoid. So make sure your electrolytes are in balance while you're running. So that can get you in a lot of trouble. And then you're rushing, obviously, from point A to point B.
Or skipping, or hobbling, because you can't run anymore.
I was going to say point A to point T, but that can be the case. But getting back to your point before, so obviously start off, get yourself a good training program. There's lots out there, but it should be a graded running program that gradually increases the Ks over time. Whether you're doing a half marathon or a marathon, it doesn't really matter. Don't train the week before going, yes, this will be great, unless you are a serious runner and you're already doing some serious Ks. Very different. And look, they are called fun runs for a reason. We want to make sure while we're not racing everyone, you know, you're going to get to the finish line without doing too much injury to yourself and doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, you say that, mate, but as soon as you get to that last, like, 500 meters and everyone can see the finish line and it just slowly gets faster, that's when you start racing.
The chest comes out, the elbows swing wider, and it's this to the finish line, is it, mate? The ego takes over. You've done it before. I've seen it happen. And then someone pings something across the finish line. So do some release work and a good warm-up before these sort of events. That's another thing. We've covered and touched on that before. But how much suffering have you gone through in the days following now?
It was on Sunday, and I need to just say this. The preparation wasn't the best. I was going to catch a bus in to town, which would have given me an extra 30 minutes to do my stretching and my releasing. The bus didn't turn up, so then I called an Uber. And if the Uber would have turned up when I needed it to be, I would have had an extra 10 minutes to stretch and all that stuff. The Uber driver went the opposite direction, dropped someone else off, went to the BP, and then cancelled on me, because I didn't want to be stingy and lose my cancellation fee. So then I had to drive to the event, park my car, run until I got to the starting block. And literally, as I got into like where the category that I was supposed to be were in, as I literally jumped into that position, it was like 5, 4, 3. So the warm up didn't happen. So maybe that has something to do with. Do you think that could be a correlating factor, Mark?
Definitely a factor. What do we do? What did I talk about? Leg swings, you know, dynamic stretches. Your dynamic stretch was getting to the start line on
time. Yeah, wasn't good. But from a recovery perspective, what on earth can I do now? Because it's all just like,
yeah. So it's probably for you, it's about taking notes for next time, if there is a next time. But the big thing.
Also,
right,
I'm sure some of our listeners will be pretty sore as well.
I'm sure that's the case. But first thing, after a race, when you finish your race, do the ice plunge. You know, do that cold ice bath. It doesn't even have to be, you know, 5 or 10 degrees. You can go jump in the ocean, whether it's one of those events down by the coast or the Brightness half marathon or whatever you're doing, or the City to Surf, or maybe it's just a quick dump yourself into the river at the end, you know, and, you know, get those legs, get them cold, get out, walk around, get back in again. You'll be surprised how much that can help straight away afterwards. I mean, all your elite athletes do that now in competition. The ice bathing really regenerates the body. It helps to calm down that inflammation. However, there is a trade-off. So when you do ice bathing, what you're doing is stopping the inflammation process. Now, that inflammation process, when you are training, helps to facilitate that change in the tissue, the growth, the regeneration, those sort of processes, which is why you're training. However, when it's a competition on game day, after that, if you do the ice bathing, then you're going to take away that inflammation that's going to stop you from just being straight up sore. And that's part of what would have been a good idea maybe yesterday afternoon afterwards, Kel, was to jump yourself into an ice bath, get in the water, or even just go for a swim, local pool.
So going to the Melbourne Demons game wasn't the best idea then?
Well, it was a good idea if you're an Eagles supporter because they had a nice weekend against the odds. I don't know how much they were coughing up for that, but, yeah, it was a nice win from what I heard. Then sitting in a seat, perfect storm. Kel, you seem to be a perfect example of how to do things wrong, don't you, mate?
I'm just sharing an example to our listeners to know exactly what not to do.
Well, this is right. This is right. I'm glad you put yourself on this sacrifice for the better of others, for the better of the people and the listeners out there. So I'm getting onto that. So then what happens like day two? So that's straight away afterwards. If you can do that after an event, then you're going to be much better off. A lot of these professional athletes can back up time to time. When I played elite sport myself, we would play 5 games in a week. And the next day you would wake up like you hadn't even played a game the day before. So you're like, wow, this actually works, this ice bathing stuff. So they've been doing it for donkeys. It works. I don't know how much you've done of ice bathing. You've done a few yourself, Kel?
Well, I've actually done a few at peak performance, so to speak.
Thank you very much. Yes. So if you have got a place that you're stuck, Peak Performance has a central location where you can get in the ice bath there. We're happy to change that temperature as well. For those that haven't been in it before, we're happy to get it about 10 degrees, which is still pretty cold. But the duration, the colder, you don't have to be in there as long, up to 3 minutes. Once you're beyond 3 minutes, it's not really a significant difference or change. But, hey, if you can tolerate 30 seconds, that's still a benefit too. So that's day one. Day two, get on your foam roller. Get on the trigger point ball. Don't hammer yourself. Whether it's trigger point ball up against the wall so you're not actually putting yourself through that sufferance and that pain, you know, you don't have to sit on a ball or the foam roller. I like to use a rolling pin, use it out of the drawer, second drawer down in the, you know, kitchen. It's where most people keep their rolling pin. On the odd occasion they might ever need one. And seriously, use a pair of those long pajamas, you know, or which is kind of okay at the moment because it's still pretty cool. But using those long pajamas or thin tracksuit pants and slide that up and down your legs. Usually I say to people, try to keep it moving towards the heart. But if you can literally slide that along your quads, front of your thighs, hamstrings at the back, calves, you know, that's all going to help. It's going to help remove those toxins, going to help keep those muscles looser and stop you being so sore. And you don't have to punish yourself. Just, you know, 10, 15 minutes while you're watching your Netflix, mate. You know?
As we're done, I'm going to be watching Housewives with the Lady and I'll literally have the roller on the thighs. Like, I'm in agony. I'm absolutely.
Are you? Agony. Well, it looks like you need to come down and see me tomorrow, mate. I'm there tomorrow morning at Peak Performance, so get yourself down there. I can dry needle it too if you want, if you really need it, mate.
Don't do that. But that's actually a really good transition. So I'm not sure if all of our listeners know this, but listeners, for the month of May, we have a special offer right now, which is 50% off your initial consultation for physiotherapy. So all you need to do is get down to Peak Performance Institute and reference PFP.
Yes.
PFP Football 50. Podcast. Yes.
Yes.
You just need to reference PFP 50 and you'll receive 50% off your initial consultation for a physio. That is for the rest of the month of May. So for all of us who've just finished the run for a reason, we've got another 11 days to reach out to Mark and the team and get 50% off the initial consultation. And yeah, that is something that I am absolutely going to go to make sure I use, because yeah, we shouldn't have to live like this. It's also like, I'm glad that you made a point, like, we don't have a lot long left, but I'm glad that you made the point about, you know, what happens when you are an athlete, right? Like, I have been training for this. I've did 10 runs in between and all of that kind of stuff, and that's fine. But the intensity of it on race day is a little bit different, right? And it feels like, you know, when I've done this before and I've been a footballer, it's been like, okay, cool, ready to go. And like, your muscles and everything is just kind of ready to go, or is more used to the strenuous nature of it. But also is a little bit more sturdy and used to having a little bit more balance and impact. Whereas right now, riding the bike, I'm doing a lot of bike riding, but it's not anywhere near as much running as I used to. And yeah, I can absolutely feel it right through my hamstring, my quad, my back, and my calf.
There we go. And then if that pain persists, you know, see your good practitioner, whether it's your chiro, physio, remedial massage. You know, and it doesn't have to be punishing as well. You know, tell your massage therapist or your physio, oh, that's really sore. Oh, can you back off yet? Sure, you might need one or two extra treatments, but you're not going to have to suffer. So, and that's where we're more than happy to be a bit flexible with people, you know, treat people according to how they want to be treated, not just to hammer it out.
I'm also just remembered, you can claim insurance at PPI, correct, can't you?
Yeah, so if you've got your private health insurance, bring that card along and claim it at your point of sale. So you can do that first and then you just pay the remainder. So it's pretty easy.
Well, look, Mark.
Well,
look, Mark, thank you so very much. I'm going to finish this off and go get myself that foam roller. Listeners, we'll be back with more from the Perth Football Podcast and you'll be hearing Sean, Josh or Tommy.
And thank you once again, Kalichi, and thank you once again for Mark from Peak Performance. I guess we're back part three-ish, is this, part 2B? Don't even know now with all these little insets we're throwing in, little extra treats for you this week. But whatever part it is going to start with Glory nil, Red Star 1. Tommy Hoff, with about 20 minutes left, got onto the end of a ball that was cleared after about, I think, six other Red Star players had had strikes at the goal. It was one of those ones where you're just thinking, this ball has got to go in the back of the net. And then you think, oh, no, the chance is gone. And then he rifled it in, Tommy Dolman, for the only goal of the game.
Spectacular finish. And really nice to see Tommy Hoff back in the starting lineup. He's had a pretty tough year or two with injuries. And I think he's made a comeback and then had a bit of a setback in that time as well. So we've known since the days of when ECU, as they were known back then, won the title in 2020. He was the pivotal player in that lineup back then. So yeah, been a really good servant to the club and great to see him back out on the pitch and scoring important goals. A rare one, I suppose, by his standards. But look, from a 90-minute perspective of this game, it wasn't the greatest most free-flowing attacking game that I'll certainly commentate on this season. I thought Perth Glory actually probably shaded it. I thought they played the better football and they probably had the better chances on the whole, or they at least had enough opportunities to get themselves a point. Sam Byrne fired over the bar after being teed up by Santi Flores, and then late on in the piece as well, they were denied when Kazamba broke into the box from the wing and Liam Reddy saved at his near post. So, look, I thought Glory certainly had their opportunities, but unfortunately for them, it's now four losses in a row after their four-game unbeaten start to the season, and they have dropped down into 10th place now. So whilst there is still some distance between them and Inglewood, who are bottom, they're only 3 points above Balcatta now in the standings in the relegation playoff place. So it's certainly an interesting time from a Glory perspective to see how they're going to bounce back in the coming weeks. They've got, I'm just having a look at who they've got next. They've got Stirling at home, and then they've got Western Knights at home and Perth at home. So three games in a row at the Sam Kerr Football Centre to try and get their season back on track. And from a Red Star perspective, 1-6 now. We know they've been a little bit inconsistent. They've not quite found their absolute best, their free-flowing football in season 2024 so far. But they are only a point off the top four now, and they are looming as that threat. So, yep, 3 points that Red Star just had to get, and the sort of result that the defending champions do often get over the course of a season when they're not quite at their best.
So, Glory, too much talent to be looking at relegation, do we think? Or what's the go with them? They've been a very weird team this season, haven't they? Four losses on the bounce, though, now.
Well, I think from a Glory point of view, we spoke about it a little bit in the preseason. It is a little bit transitional this year. A lot of players stepping up from the 18s and the 20s. And there are some existing players who have been in the setup for quite some time, such as Roy Rahimim. But the bulk of their team is, and Jalen Pearman, but the bulk of their team is players like Daniel Jankulowski, Sam Barry, who's been very good this season, Sebastian Despotovsky, Santi Flores, Tadawin Ashe-Kazamba, et cetera, et cetera. So, look, a lot of players who are coming up, they are very talented and they do play football in a way that should be conducive, as we've said in previous years, to them having enough to be able to stay up. But obviously the league position doesn't look particularly good for them at the moment.
Yeah, it does not. Big win for Red Star, though. One of those ones where you just sort of felt like they needed 3 points however they could get it, whether it was a free-flowing sort of 4-5-0 or a grindy 1-0 that they got. Just really needed that to keep touch. They're only 1 point behind Western Knights. And again, you look at these teams, obviously Red Star with the success they've had through them, it's probably a more critical lens than you look at teams like Knights, who everyone, you know, is talking about what a fantastic season. They're unbeaten in their first 7 games, just newly promoted. They only have 1 more point than Red Star. So in terms of how good their season is actually going, Red Star are still there or thereabouts. And we know there's players there that can turn it on. I don't know what you think about that, Josh.
Oh, I think when Red Star are at their best, they look very good. You know, they had that first half against Bayswater a few weeks ago where, you know, they just played them off the park over the course of about 20 minutes and scored a couple of spectacular goals. You know, I think as long as they keep touch, they're always going to be a threat. And I think you touched on it before, Tommy, that Darryl seemed to have gone off the pitch straight after they scored the goals. I'm not sure if he's sort of starting to carry a few knocks here or there. He's obviously been around the league for a pretty long time now. But, you know, he hasn't hit his form, and that's probably, you know, again, we say it long often enough that it's might become a cliche at some point, but he's probably going to score a bag one of these days.
Mm. And look, everyone I think knows how big fans we are of Darryl as a bloke and as a footballer, and I know from speaking to others that he's struggling a bit with the poor form and probably getting too many messages from Gordon, but we know how good he is, and you don't just lose that over one off season, and whether it's not getting him at 100% or whether it's just that mental barrier that once things start flying in, they'll keep flying in. Just keep doing what you do, Darryl. Like he's just a player that's so great to watch, and if he can get himself fully fit, if that's the problem, then I think he's got to just take that time off, get back to full fitness, and then have that drive at the end of the season. What do you think, Tom?
It's a different challenge for Darryl this season as well. We spoke about that partnership so much last season with Chop Dow. Joel Chianese wasn't available either at the weekend, so you've got the likes of Matty George, Sonny O'Shea, Bryce Baffert as well, who I thought was excellent at the weekend as well, coming in from the left-hand side. He's another player who's had his injury issues over the years, but is starting to show some glimpses as well, as a player who could be a real difference maker for Red Star. So, yeah, look, I still think there's definitely more to come from them. They're nowhere near their best yet, and yet they're still fifth. So that's a positive thing. And just one other little tidbit, yep, I suppose, as well, from their team perspective. An interesting move as well. No Dennis Gowan at the weekend, but Andrew Palmer slotted into the centre of defence. And it was actually a pretty interesting move, because what it did was have Palmer there as a bit of a ball-playing defender. And he was a big part of the reason why they were able to step into midfield and launch some decent attacks as the game wore on. So whether that's something they're going to use going forward, I don't know. But it's just good to have these options present themselves as the season wears on. And from a Geraldton perspective as well, having the game up there, it was really well attended on the whole. I think about 1,000 people came through the gates over the course of the day. It was a beautiful afternoon for it up there, a lot better than it was 3 years ago when it was wet and windy and a little bit wild up there in terms of the conditions. And it wasn't necessarily the most conducive for football. So, yeah, shout out to the community in the Midwest for coming out and supporting the NPL men's and women's matches. And, it was a good day on the whole, a good afternoon and evening up there.
Lovely stuff. We love to hear it. And then finally, before we let you get back to whatever you were doing before you started listening to us. Listeners probably don't put us in their ears and then just sit down and listen, do they? They probably keep doing what they were doing anyway. You reckon?
Vacuuming, driving the car.
Yeah, I don't think you sit down and stop just because you start listening to the Perth Football Podcast. Anyway, shut up, Sean. Tell us what we've got left. It's Balcata 0, Stirling 3. Early Tanevski goal from a corner, 2 deflected goals in the second half, 1 from Davies, 1 from Byrne. And Stirling, they never draw, Tommy. They've won 4, they've lost 4. This was one of their better ones, a 3-0 win away, and very much needed for them if they want to keep their proximity to that top 4. They are 3 points off Knights in 4th and find themselves in 7th position after that one.
Very important, considering they had come off back-to-back defeats without scoring a goal in either of those matches against Floria and Red Star. So an important one to get back on the horse, I suppose, and at least put yourself in a position where you are within touching distance of being able to make a launch for the top 4 places. A little bit like Red Star. I don't think we've quite seen the best from Stirling this season. There's obviously been a few moving parts, but what we do know is that come the business end of the season, I think they are going to be there and thereabouts. And this was actually a repeat of last weekend's Australia Cup preliminary round of 16 match. Balcata had a lot of chances in the cup game and didn't take one. And Stirling kind of got a goal on the break and won it and went through the next round. Whereas Balcata at the weekend, maybe sort of ruining their misfortune again a little bit with the fact that there was some opportunities for them and then 2 deflected goals in the second half, which sort of made the scoreline a little bit wider. But, yeah, Stirling not quite at their best this season. Balcata, it's another game where they've not picked up a point. They've still got that 5-point gap to the bottom over Inglewood. But for them, they've got to start getting some points on the board quickly if they want to sort of climb up and get themselves into a position of safety. And they've got Armidale at home this weekend, and then they're away at Kingsway and at home to Bayswater. So you're looking at that game at home to Armidale and thinking that that's a little bit of a 6-pointer for them in terms of being able to maybe make some ground on a potential team that's in their station at the moment.
Well, any thoughts from you there, Josh, on Balcata versus Stirling, either or this game in general or life in general before we wrap things up for another week?
It's incredible, you know, we were complaining a couple of years ago, I remember, about some of the camera angles that we used to get the NPL
the Balcata camera angle.
We had the Armidale angle back in the day, the ground floor angle, which seemed terrible until the very final moments of the season when Bailey Brown Montgomery scored that goal to win the title and Floriot celebrated right in front of you and the cameraman, Sean, in the perfect position to get captured for that 3-2 win over Armidale.
Magnificent.
We had the opposite of the ghost goal. We had the ghost non-goal. We had the ghost crossbar in the Balcata Stirling game when
how good was Goach? Yeah, check this out if you haven't.
How did we miss this?
How do you even describe this?
So Kieran Byrne scores this goal, and it looks like it's taken a bit of a deflection. It's looped up. It's hit the bottom of the crossbar, and it's gone into the net. And it's sort of nestled in the bottom of the net.
That doesn't sound very interesting at all, Josh. That just sounds like your average goal.
But at the exact same time, someone from the crowd behind us thrown a ball out towards the direction, and it took me a while to work out where it's gone. It seems like it's gone out in the direction of the of
the throwing
flag.
It out towards so the corner never, flag. Yeah, yeah, they weren't throwing
yeah,
it onto
so it's
the
never,
pitch.
It's
just
not even. It's not even come on the pitch at all, but the way that the angle, the visuals, the light, all of it, it looks like the ball's just smacked straight back off the post and bounced out, and everybody stopped playing.
Off the crossbar.
And people are shaking Kieran off the crossbar, sorry. And yep. The ball's came out, and people are just shaking Kieran Burns' hand and telling him what a great job he did with that ball that struck the crossbar.
And you're looking at it thinking, why is no one chasing this ball, and why are they congratulating
him on the shot that's cannoned back off the crossbar?
It was bizarre. Like, you couldn't plan it. You couldn't go out. It would take you so many attempts, firstly, to get a ball to ricochet back off the crossbar, but then to get a ball thrown at the exact right time so that when the ball passes the crossbar, the other one is coming out at that exact moment. It was the fates combining to make that happen. Go check it out if you haven't seen it.
You'll see that. It's a visual illusion that will pop up in your maths textbooks for years to come. People will have to work out the angles involved with one or other algebraic formulations.
And the size of the ball, because the ball's so small, and from that distance, the difference in size of the ball is a big
Where is the light from the sun
perception
coming?
Of depth. Exactly. Yeah.
The I don't know if you have you ever seen that clip from Germany from a few years ago. And in fact, I think it's Mark Flecken who's the goalkeeper who does it, which is very funny because I think he's now the Brentford keeper after David Raya left. And basically, the ball is something happens at one end, the ball hits the post, but the keeper has gone into the net at the same time. So most of the players on the team that's hit the post think the ball's gone in, and they've all gone off to celebrate. At the same time, the ball's still in, it comes down the other end, and Flecken's gone to get a drink from his water bottle. And by the time he's turned around, the ball's just been passed beyond him into the net.
Oh, lovely stuff. Only football brings you these things. Tommy, have you got any thoughts on life before we wrap it up for another week?
No thoughts on life, just
what
wanted
a surprise.
To touch
just
on...
football?
Just football, as always. Australia Cup quarterfinal draw in the local rounds happened last week, and a very interesting draw in terms of the way it's sort of been laid out, with Western Knights playing Kingsway in one of the games, and Perth and Stirling playing another on one side of the bracket. And then the other side of the draw has Red Star playing Rockingham and then Ashfield playing Sorrento. So it's looking like on one side
it's
of the draw.
Got a Northern Derby on the cards.
Well, it's looking like it's just very interesting how these things sort of pan out in terms of you've got four NPL sides on one side of the draw and three State League sides on the other side. It'll be fascinating to see how that all develops. And yeah, aside from that, I'm absolutely bricking it for this week's playoff final, but I'm sure we'll touch on that on Monday.
All right. Good luck with that. Any more from you, Josh?
Well, I mean, Tommy, you buried the lead there, Sean. We're talking about a Northern Derby in the semi-final. We're two games away from Ashfield taking it up to Central Coast Mariners in the round of 32. If we just look at the state, just because we have touched on the State League, you're down at Paint Seal Arena. We just having a look at the leagues below the NPL. And geez, it's tied at the top in both of them as well. So that promotion playoff, the promotion race and the playoff race is well and truly open. If we look at State League One, we've got Dianella White Eagles unbeaten, just the one draw against Sorrento there on 19 points. Sorrento 17, Murdoch 16, Subi 14, UWA 13, and then a bit of a gap. Coburn and Gosnells down the bottom with 3 and 4 points respectively. And State League Two, if we bring that up, Joondalup City and Forestfield United both lost heavily this weekend, a 5-2 loss against Ashfield for Forestfield and a 4-1 loss against Kalamunda for Joondalup. So that's pretty tight as well now. 15 points for Joondalup and Forestfield. Kalamunda on 12, East Perth on 12. So, you know, we could potentially, after seeing Kingsley go up a couple of years ago, there's a couple of former Sunday League clubs that are well positioned to make another playoff tilt potentially this season. So very tasty in the other State Leagues.
Well, note to self, don't mention the State League or bloody Josh. Well, says the guy who spent 2 minutes talking about the Mighty Ducks. But, yeah, it's all looking very, very exciting across the board. We hope we've just added to that
Ashfield
excitement for you for
the
evening. Yeah. And enough about Ashfield. You go live your lives. It's been a pleasure. Kalichi's not here. So what does he normally say? It's be reckless, be mean, or be jerks and be horrible or something.
Let's go.
Be careful.
Smash the pricks.
Be careful. Be kind. Yeah. Love. Generosity. Kindness. Love. Yeah. Love. Bye. See you next week.
See ya.